is the 1895 podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Duty.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. And as always, we are brought to you by Go Loud. Go Loud is the home of Irish podcasts. Another busy podcast this week. I say it every week. We're always busy. Always busy. But we do have an awful lot to talk about. We have a progression in the cup on penalties against Galway. On Wearing side were beaten on Saturday in a top of the table clash. We'll break that one down shortly. We'll talk referees. We'll talk crowds. We'll talk Richie Rankins. We'll talk ticket allocations. We'll talk Bows at home. We'll talk Rovers away on Monday in the cup. Loads to talk about. Ben, are you ready to talk? I've said talk about 600 million times there in the intro.
Do you want to say talk once more, just so the people know that we're going to talk? It is a podcast, I think they'd expect us to talk. It'd be pretty terrible if we weren't talking.
Yeah, it would be. It'd be fairly shy. Ben, what I will say to you, how's your last day of freedom going? Because you're back in work tomorrow, like the rest of the normal folk who have to work 300 odd days a year.
Yeah, look, it's been a, I think going back to work, I think I'd have the most interesting how I spent my summer segment, basically. Yeah. So it's been good, but I don't want to say I'm happy to go back, because is anyone ever happy to go back to work? But yeah, look.
Could be worse.
Oh, I don't think so.
Could be a lot better. Look, speaking of a lot better, could have been a lot better. The result on Saturday in Tolka for our Women's Premier Division side, loads of people billing it as a title decider. I'm pretty sure we did flag that this wouldn't be a title decider. It's too early. There is too many games left to play. But a disappointing result. Most of the chatter, unfortunately, ended up about the referee's performance. We will come to that, but just take a step back from the controversy first and tell me what you thought of the game, not of the referee.
Oh, there was another conversation about to be had there, but
it's coming.
Your first league defeat comes, 14 games in? I think that probably says an awful lot. Like, this team wouldn't be used to losing, so I imagine something they're not going to like. I think it's something they'll probably bounce back from really well. I think you look at the positives, maybe the finish by Gemma Quinn.
It's a proper striker goal, isn't it? Gemma Quinn just has a knack of scoring. That's a bit of a cliche, I suppose, a striker's goal, but they are, like, she loves that run across the front, so aggressive, trying to get after the ball, so hungry to stick it in the net. I didn't get to watch it live, I had to watch it back. But when I seen the goal, you go, jeez, yeah, that's a Gemma Quinn goal, far as I'm concerned.
Touch, hold off the defender, and just smack it into the net as hard as you can. Incredible finish, incredible technique. But I think a draw probably would have been a fair result. I don't think we played our best football. I think in spells we look really bright, but I think maybe there was another gear to get to. I don't know if you felt that way.
Yeah, when I watched it, I kind of had to watch it on, you know, like on by two speed.
Yeah.
Because I had a very limited window where I could watch the game, so I had to kind of make sure I got through as much of it as I could. Did you just fall, Ben?
No, did you?
No. What the fuck's that?
What did you drop?
I don't know, nothing.
Do you think I fell off my chair like a Vincent?
That's what I thought. I just heard a big bang. But anyway, I'm leaving that in. I was going to take the time down on it, and just leave it there, so why not?
None of us have fallen.
We're all all right. Yeah, I had a limited window to watch the game in, so I had to kind of speed it up a little bit. It felt like the top two teams playing against each other. Nobody really wanted to let up. Nobody wanted to give the game away easily. That's what it felt like to me, anyway.
A bit like kind of punch, counter punch kind of thing. Like, it just didn't feel like, I don't know, maybe you just didn't get into the kind of groove, our groove that we're used to. but like you can expect that at the top of the table. I think we've said a lot this year. Like the quality, that division is only getting harder.
Oh, it is. Like we've flagged it a few times on here already that those days of, you know, you kind of look at the fixture list and you'd go, all right, you're going to play against X, Y, Z team. That's guaranteed 6 points when we play them twice. It's not really like that. And again, probably gone overall ground a little bit, but it's true. Even like this would have been, if you put it this way, when ourselves and P-Mount were going for the league, if you lost to P-Mount like that with only so many games left, that would be calamity. End of the world. My God, there's no chance P-Mount are going to drop another win. But now when you look through the fixtures, you go, yeah, like there is actually a couple of games there where you kind of go, alone, like that's a difficult game. They obviously entertain Rovers. They entertain Bows, who maybe have been better than people thought. Last game of the season, they've got to go to Galway. So, like, by no means is the league over. Definitely not. Look, it puts you at a disadvantage because you're relying now on stuff elsewhere going your way. And I think for Owen Wearing, the manner of kind of, first of all, our best wishes, everyone at the club sends their best wish to Chloe Singleton. A bad injury kind of stunned that first half, but we reacted brilliantly after the stoppage. It's probably fair. I'm sure a few of those at long players' heads were probably elsewhere just with the manner of the injury, but capitalised on it nonetheless. But to concede when we conceded and the way we conceded, that's a killer, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just you get that, like you get the goal coming in, like was around 33, 34 minutes. You think coming into half time, like you go in 1-0 up, like that's a very difficult team talk to give in terms of Athlone side of things. So you just kind of hope you go in. The goal we concede is extremely uncharacteristic. I think that's the only way you can describe it.
You could play another 5,000 games and we wouldn't concede that goal again. It's just one of those. You probably do it 50 times during a season and nothing will ever come of it. And then it just happens that in such a big game that it would come at that moment. But look, you said it at the start. Did we do enough to win the game? Probably not. We also done enough probably over the 90 minutes to not deserve to lose the game, but that's just not how it works. So we'll get to the elephant in the room, the penalty decision, where, look, it's probably fair to say we're not being unfair. In the ref's kind of performance over the 90 minutes wasn't great. And look, it's an FAI Cup final referee. It's not like, you know, you're maybe picking on somebody who is only getting going or is very young to the game or something like that. Didn't have our best 90 minutes, but what did you make of the penalty decision?
I think you're always going to look at it with a bit of bias, and I did feel a little bit hard done by. I thought, like, watch it back, keeper only has eyes for the ball. It's a little bit, I know you probably won't be in agreement, but I just, and maybe it is the bias, but I just don't think, yeah, I don't think it should have been given.
See,
again, I'm hoping to say it could be the bias. Maybe, look, if you look at it probably logically, it mightn't work, and maybe what works against us is the performance throughout the 90 minutes, then that penalty is given. You kind of look at it on the merit of other decisions.
Yeah, I think it was a penalty. I know I'm probably in the minority with that, but we tried to be as fair as we can on here and try to give our honest opinions, because I think it makes it a lot more authentic, I'd say, and it's a lot easier to listen when two people are just sitting here being honest. I think it's one of those that is rarely given, but I do think it's a foul. I think if that happens outside the box, it's a free kick. Like, I can't see why.
Cause and circumstance. If that happens outside the box, the keeper's charging at you. That's like, you can't. I think that's a bit silly to look at it that way. And I'm saying, if it's outside the box, well, if it's outside the box, the keeper has no right to challenge for it, usually, because you should expect your centre half to deal with it. In that area, the ball.
Yeah, you see all the time, a keeper comes out, like rushes out of the box and has to do something, try and affect it somehow.
Oh, but, no, I know you see it. I'm just saying, like, it's very hard to look at the two things as the same thing when they're not. Because one situation has a keeper charging last chance saloon, trying to get scramble and get it away because their centre half can't get there. This one is, the ball is near the keeper. The keeper has the right to challenge for the ball. No?
But not if it involves cleaning the centre forward out.
But the keeper has eyes on the ball. The keeper's not looking at the centre forward.
But don't give me eyes for the ball. If that's the argument, then I can go in for a 50-50, go in over the knee on somebody, but I was looking at the ball. Like, a foul's a foul, regardless if you're looking at the ball or if you're not. Or, like, if it's like that thing, I wasn't aware. Like, if somebody swings a wild leg and felled somebody, it's, I didn't know there was somebody there. Well, you're on a pitch with 22 other people or 21 other people, so there's always going to be people there. I think if it wasn't given for us, you'd be looking at it saying, that's a penal. And look, as well, we try to take the bias out of this as much as we can and try to be fair.
Well, some of us are better than others at doing that.
Yeah, whatever. But look, nevertheless, we didn't deserve to lose the game. Definitely, no. I don't think. We definitely not. But look, all this is just another challenge. Like, it's another hurdle. It's another little setback. Like, it's 5 games to go. You're probably going to have to win the 5 now. And I do think Athlone will slip up, to be honest. So it's not a calamity, but it's obviously advantage Athlone, and Athlone are now in the driving seat. They're a good team. Kieran Kilduff has them very, very organised. I listened to him on a podcast there last week before. He's the type of manager I'd like to play for, I think. He's very honest and upfront, and but it's not complete meltdown calamity. Like, I seen some stuff online about, it's one of the worst penalty decisions I've ever seen. Now, that's fairly wide of the mark.
I wouldn't be going that far. Like, look, as annoying as it is, I can see both sides. I just, on this occasion, don't think it's a penalty, but I can see that, like, I can see the merit on why it's given, basically.
Yeah. We could go around in circles on this one. I think this is one of those rare times where we disagree.
And I think the fairest way to do it is I'll just see it in the centre circle at half time and throw a few hammocks.
Or the best, what I'd love to do, now it would be nearly impossible to do it because LOI Central tried to do it and the referee representative, we'll call him, that they had on made a complete show of the whole thing by giving mad numbers about 90-something% of decisions referees make during a game are correct, and it came out all this mad stuff. I'd love to just have a referee on here, where, like, an ex-referee even, or even just somebody that referees, maybe not Sunday League, dealing with a different set of problems there, but if there is any supporters of that out there that are, like, at a decent, half decent level of refereeing, I'd love to just have a sit down with them, and not like a finger pointing thing, and not where they're very defensive, but just a chat, because we've talked loads of stuff about referees, but not being approachable and being arrogant, and we've seen loads of that in the last few weeks. But I'd love to do it, to just sit down. I did get one message in. Judy Fraser said, the ref for the women's match last Saturday should never referee at this level again. I don't know. I think that's harsh. I do. I'd allow a ref to have a stinker, like, decisions-wise and stuff like that, because the same as a footballer, you could just have a really bad day at the office. To say she should never ref again, Julie, I don't know if I can agree with that. to be fair. Ben, is there ever that bad of a performance where a ref should never referee again?
No, I don't think so, but there has to be accountability duty, is what I like. If you're a footballer and you have a stinker, they'll show back to you and say, this is what you've done wrong and this is where you need to improve. It doesn't seem like that accountability is there. I know referees do review games and referees delegate and all that kind of stuff, but what use is it if nothing changes?
No, I do agree with that, but I think it's one of those vicious circle things where nobody wants to ref. Like, the numbers are just disastrously low at the minute of people even taking up the referee course. I know they offered free ones there for a while just to try and get people to do it. Who would do it? I don't know. I reckon you have a screw loose if you want to be a referee. But in an ideal world like that, if a referee has a stinker, it's a right, you're off next week. Not a, we're dropping you or not a, but a, for your sake, we're going to just take you out of limelight and just leave you on the, stay away for a week.
That's one of the biggest issues is referees, especially in this country, because maybe the pool isn't as big in terms of what you can choose from. You get the same referees that has had a stinker last week refereeing a game this week, and you're like, oh, he's refing our game. Like, when we check lineups, one of the first things we check is the referee as well.
100%. I've already done it for Friday's game against Boss. They usually come out on a Tuesday morning, those assignments do, and I've done it. And now, thankfully, a few people have said it in the last few weeks. Damien McGrath, I do think, is the best referee in the country by a mile. And he's obviously officiating the game Friday, which is a good thing.
But that's a mad thing to have to check. Like, imagine going into a game and, like, your biggest concern maybe isn't the opposition lineup. It's who's refereeing this? And then you get onto the lineup. That's a bit mental.
Yeah, it is. It's just a done thing as well, though, I think, isn't it? I'm interested to see what you think of, for the first time, there's been an appeal was successful in the league for a red card. And it was against a certain Dave Dunn, who, I may as well be honest with this one, because there's somebody shouting at their radio at the moment saying, be honest, tell the truth. Since I was a kid, I've been watching AUL football, which, for anyone that doesn't know, is like the alternative to Leinster Senior League, say. So you have Leinster Senior League and the AUL. They used to be on level footings. They're not anymore. But if you're saying that referee in that Waterford, that Long Cup game, was down to referee your game on a weekend in the AUL, you would be, oh no, here we go. You'd be furious. You'd just be waiting for something to go wrong, some kind of calamity to happen. Now, how he has ended up in the League of Ireland, I don't know. But did you see the decision, Ben, in the Waterford game?
I saw the appeal. I didn't actually see the card now, so you'll have to talk me.
All right, so I'm going to do my best to talk you through this. I'm aware this isn't Shells related, but look, we generally try and shy away from this stuff, but this one, I think, was just outrageous. So there's a corner getting ready to come in, and it's the usual stuff. There's kind of, say, three attackers and three defenders, and they're kind of Congo lion facing each other, and it's the usual stuff, like the attacker or the defender puts his hand on the attacker's chest, you know, this kind of stuff, trying to bat him away, and the attacker's slapping the defender's hand, and just like nothing, the hands aren't high, nothing like that at all.
Normal stuff. What's
And next thing, the ref blows the whistle, comes steaming in, flashes the red, and everyone is just looking around going, what is going on here? But they're the decisions that there is no excuse to get that so wrong. There's just not. It's not like it's a tackle or it's an offside decision where everything's happening really quickly and, you know, or like a tackle, you might see it wrong the first time around. Like in normal time, it looks horrific, but when you bring it back, it's really not. I've plenty of time for mistakes, those type of decisions, but when you are looking at something, he's literally looking straight at it. I could not wrap my head around it, and I'm delighted it was overturned, because it just you were saying earlier about accountability and stuff like that. That might just have people, referees, look at it and go, oof, yeah, maybe I'm actually not going to get away with many of these now because they can be overturned. But look, that's enough referee waffle. More than enough referee waffle for me. Monday, 7:45, Ben, away to Rovers. What did they call themselves again?
Game Changers, is
that was you, not me. You said it.
Yeah.
7:45, it's obviously the Cup quarterfinals. Ben, how do we see it going?
I think only one way. I think we, at the end of that fixture, will be enjoying ourselves.
It is a tough game. Look,
it's not going to be
their easy season game. Is on the line.
It is, but I think there's a lot of especially, look, our recent history. There's a strong rivalry there. There seems to be a genuine hatred there. Really strong. So I think it'll be a big game. It obviously is a big game, but I think that there's kind of a point to prove, maybe.
Yeah, I feel there'll be a bit of that. There'll be a bit of, right, what have we got?
You want
after the disappointing result.
You want to bounce back.
Yeah. And that comes with its own pressures then as well. Sometimes you can go too far that way and be trying so hard to prove a point. It can go the other way, but I have every confidence. I really do. I think we're going to go out there. You won't win it comfortably, but I can see the Reds going into the half for the next round, which at this stage, that's all it's about. It's just picking up those results, getting into the next round.
That's it, getting the result, getting into the next round.
Yeah, that game is 7:45. It's on Monday. It's obviously, as I mentioned, away to Shamrock Rovers in Tallaght Stadium. If you can't travel to the game, it's live on LOI TV, as it always is. Speaking of cup games, getting the job done, getting yourself into the next round, Ben. Men's team did it on Friday. Not pretty, but effective.
Yeah, a wonderful segue, by the way. You're getting really good at this.
Oh, I'll tell you.
Tell you what. I think it's just one of those where there were so many chances to win the game, particularly second half. I feel like you just asked me, how do I assess that, dude?
We can let the cat out of the bag. That's a famous Gav White line. When he used to do the post-match interviews, he'd start every single interview with, well, Ian, how do you assess that one? And we used to give him stick for it, but it's the perfect question.
It is.
Because it just gets the ball rolling.
Yeah. But then you can choose your next question off what they say or what they've decided to focus on. It's like, yeah, you have to give it to him. He's done well there. And I still use it. I think it's really effective. But
and actually, yeah. Sorry, I need to address this because we were chatting to a few people after the game on Friday who listened to the pod. And everyone, we haven't actually mentioned it, but the Conor Kearns interview went down really, really well. I'm glad he came across as well as he did because he is that sound. That's what everyone said. He just seems really sound. And I totally agree with that.
Yes.
But a particular listener, and I won't mention him or her, but they basically confronted me because I didn't ask Conor Kearns more about staying in a hostel with 10 players while he was playing for Galway. A lot of the time in those interviews, I'm already trying to think of the next question. And it's not that you're not listening, but you're not kind of
hanging on every word.
Exactly. And that's basically what happened. And I didn't listen back to it because I'd never listen back to stuff because I, ironically enough, hate my own voice, Ben, would you believe? But
yeah. I used to love the podcast.
Yeah.
It's terrible every week and now I can't listen to it.
I know, you get people saying, you said such and such. I go, did I? Jeez, did I say that? I haven't a clue. But I am sorry for not getting more into Conor Kearns' living arrangements when he was in Galway. But I feel like there's enough meat on the bone there for part two. So hopefully we'll get there with Conor. But Ben, sorry, you are saying.
Yeah, in terms of how am I assessing that game, I just think we left most of a half football behind. I don't think we were particularly well organized in the first half. I thought we looked a little bit sloppy. I don't think we moved the ball as well as we we could. I think standards wise, wasn't really up to our usual. But the second half, I think we battered them. I really do. I think we definitely deserved on the second half. We performance like we had so many chances, and it's just on another day, you score three, you score four. Like Clarkie pulled off a great save from Harry Wood, I think, with the volley.
Yep.
JJ again, he was the one that I think crossed it for Harry Wood. JJ crossed it again, back post. Gano picks it up, it just goes over, can't keep it down. It's like, Jesus. Yeah, on another day, you convert those chances, and then it's a very comfortable run.
Yeah, I felt at the time we were watching it, we obviously went up into that great place to watch a game of football, by the way, up the bit of terrace in there, but where the new stand meets the riverside. That's a great spot to watch a game of football. And you do kind of see it differently when you're above it rather than at eye level with it. 100% you watch the game a bit differently. But what I would say is, it was a bad game, but I don't think we played badly. Like, they're a horrific team to play against. And that's not a knock or a slight. That's a compliment to them.
Yeah, that's the biggest
compliment. Like, we spoke, I don't know whether you were there, but I spoke to a Galway player at the start of the season, and his exact words were, we are horrible bastards to play against. And, we had an element of that to us last season, where everyone said it, you know, we hardly conceded, we were just dogged, didn't give anything up easily. That's what Galway are doing. And
they're just hard working, like they just run the legs out of you. And that long throw is, that is, to some people, a thing of beauty.
Oh, it is. And we were probably a bit sloppy in the first half. I know Joey mentioned it in his post-match with Darren that we didn't move the ball quickly enough. I think a lot of that goes down to Galway as well.
Yeah.
I think that was a much bigger result than people realise. It felt that, like, a lot of people from the outside looking in, like, Jesus, got away with one there, you know.
But
getting through on penalties, like, I genuinely could have seen them going to win that cup if they knocked us out.
Oh, absolutely. Like, especially, look, with the teams that have gone through now and the draw the way it looks now. But, like, it's insane when you look at the game and the other results. Like, I think that result stands to you more than a game where you go out and you pump a team 8 or 9 nil.
Yeah, and again, Darren's interview after the game with Joey, like, Joey alluded to that as well, so did Darren through his question, that, like, that gives you another string to your bow, if you like. Like, we know now that we can go and against a scrapper of a team like Galway, that we can get the job done. And that's all it was getting the job done. And we had a massive setback, like conceding that goal when we did. Like, that is a model for Galway to go on and win on penalties. A model. And I don't think people realise this.
Especially in the Galway end as well. They're like, as soon as you see it, like, this is set up for, this is us now.
Oh, yeah. And, like, as well, other things that, like, I kind of forgot. They two disallowed goals as well. Yeah. And, like, there was, like, Conor Cairns came out with a perler of a save. Paddy Barrett, did Paddy Barrett clear one off the line?
He did,
Conor
may
or may not have saved it, but no, we put it down as a Paddy Barrett clearance off the line.
It was going that way, it looked like.
Yeah. So, like, when you strip it back, it's not like Galway were shy and we were more shy. I think we played okay.
I think that was actually one of our better performances in recent weeks.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I definitely agree with that. I'm glad we got the job done, because, as Joey said, go on, sorry.
If you look at every player, but the reason I'm saying I think it's one of our better performances, every player was a 7 out of 10, at least. Like,
yeah.
There wasn't anyone where you'd turn around and look at me like, you weren't really up to much, especially the team that finished the game. Like, it's, I think, again, I'll say it to anyone that'll listen, JJ, unbelievable again.
Listen here, Ben. I have been spouting about JJ for the longest time. You were there, Pat's away. Do you remember that fella?
Yeah.
And I still to this day could not believe how critical some people were, JJ.
I've ever seen you get proper thick with someone.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often.
Arguing with a randomer who said, get rid of that lunny fella, he's not up to much. And you're like, what? You just turned, you didn't even know the bloke.
All he does, side to side all the time. What are you talking about, honestly? But just on JJ, I did get a message on Instagram. The person doesn't want to be named, but he said, JJ Looney is the soundest chap around. So there you go. Some nice compliments for JJ. Had a few anonymous messages in actually this week. Well, they're not anonymous to me because I can see who asked them, but people asking, oh, will you not not say my name, like, because it's a bit embarrassing. But yeah, loads of love for JJ, as there should be. Mr. Cool, I've never been so confident of somebody scoring a penal as when JJ stepped up to that one. And
yeah, there was a few when JJ.
I had loads of people around me being like, "Oh, JJ taking the penal."
JJ is like, in terms of a play, looks like nothing can faze him really. Like when I've never seen someone as comfortable to be tackled. Like,
yeah, sometimes like he wants it. It's like, yeah, get close to me because I'll just roll away from you, and then I have a bit more space to work in. Something as well that went under the radar, but I was very impressed with, was that goal that Aidan O'Brien scores, the little bit of movement in the box. Because I'm a sad act, well, you can say I'm either a sad act or I prepare very well, that I watched, there's like a compilation on YouTube, you've probably seen it as well, Ben. It's like every goal Aidan O'Brien scored for Millwall.
Yeah, I'm not going to call it a sad act because I also watched that. So we're prepared is what we are.
Yes. And there's a lot of goals like that one. And people will just look at that and be like, ah, yeah, just a tap in the box. It's the movement around it. He so often finds himself in there. And the longer he's here, the longer players get used to that. Because we don't really have a striker like that. I think all of our strikers want to be involved with everything, if that makes sense. Which is fine. That's the type of player they are. It's a type of way we've played. But I just don't think you can put a price on a fella who knows where to be in the 6-yard box or in and around the penalty spot.
Yeah, he just kind of, he doesn't really stop moving. He kind of in and out, and like, he's a nightmare for any kind of centre half because you constantly have to check your shoulders if you're just moving. Like, he looked really lively. He's a lot bigger than you think as well in person.
Yeah, you obviously met him in person on the Tuesday, was it? You interviewed him in Talca.
Yeah.
And he didn't seem that big.
Oh.
And then it's like, somebody sticks on a jersey and they just, all of a sudden, he looked like he was like kind of 6'2", big unit of a fella, but good goal, to build up to the goal. And this actually, there's a message, another message we got in, Luke O'Donnell said, cooler heads needed in the stands for the run-in. Gano and Burt especially getting over the top flack lately. Now, we probably miss a lot of this because we don't be in the Riverside a lot. We don't even be in the main stand a lot. We're usually behind the goal, so you don't really hear much of it from there.
Yeah.
But stick for Gano and Burt. Where do you fall on that one?
Gano, I think, on a consistency basis, one of our most consistent performers all year. I think Gano's a massive loss when he's not on the team. Liam Burt, I think he offers you an awful lot going forward. Like, say what you will about his chance. He obviously wasn't taken, but he steps up, he takes the decisive penalty. He plays a wonderful through ball, kind of lofted over the top through ball to Ali Coote, who does very, very well to take it down with his right foot and pull it back with his left. Like, I definitely wouldn't be, like, there's a lot of people that maybe you can look at and say maybe they're not up to it, but I don't think you can question them anyway.
I have written on my notes here, mention Burt's pass, and you just mentioned it there, because the commentator managed to think it was Mark Coyle.
Oh, I know, yeah. I was like,
Mark Coyle and Burt, like, fairness.
He's done well to change his number and grow the head of hair that quickly.
Yeah, I was going to say the hair, but the weight and everything on that pass he put through for Ali Koo was those passes from deep like that are very, very difficult, and it was just perfect. And yet he got a bit of stick. Look, deserved stick for he tried to skin Clarkey twice. A touch of the young Wes Houlihan's about that. I remember my dad was going mad that like Wes will try and beat a player 2 and 3 times, but one, the pass, what do they call it now, Ben? A pre-assist, is it? Something like that?
Yeah, something like, something fancy.
Yeah. And then his penal. Like, he scores the winning penal at the end of the day as well. So, not that I can see why he gets stick. None of these players should be getting stick. Criticism, yeah, absolutely. Everyone's open to criticism, but...
Yes.
I think it's more...
thing for me.
Yeah, I find with Liam, that Liam Burt, he can come in and out of games a bit. And I don't think that helps.
But, yeah, look, you can't come in and out of games, but so can literally any winger in the world, depending on if you're getting the ball or if you're getting service. So it's probably very easy to point the finger and say, you're not doing enough. But if the winger runs out of position to get on the ball and gets on the ball and loses it, and then we're countered, like, oh, why isn't he in position? So,
yeah,
it's a bit of a lose-lose, like, I suppose. You can only do as much as everyone else.
Yeah, there's a bit of head loss as well. I found that, not head loss, that's maybe a bit harsh, but a lot of people very critical of the performance Friday. Look, we weren't at our best, but I think a lot of that's down to Galway. I really do. They're a very, very difficult team to play against. Adam Worthington was on saying it might be a bit premature, but Aidan O'Brien looked very good in the Galway game. Especially his positioning, I'd probably agree with that. He just looks like a player.
He just looks like a handful. I think.
Yeah.
He kind of looks that kind of level. I don't want to say level above, because I think the league has risen an awful lot to those standards. So
I think don't get me going about the standard in the league, Ben.
I think he's just of the standard of a top player. But that's what you'd expect in players you're bringing in. When you look at where the team is in the league, you'd expect to be bringing in top players. And I think that's what he is. I think, look, it's very easy to forget he's only had, what, 2 training sessions with the team before that match?
Yep.
Like, the more you play with them, the more you're going to get used to how they want to get the ball to their feet, how they're going to play the ball to you, what run they want you to make, how they want to pass it to you. Like, that stuff is only going to come with experience and training and getting to know the players. So, if he's starting with a goal, we have a lot more exciting stuff to look forward to, I'd imagine.
100%. And the other part, I was looking at the squad list earlier. We have some amount of depth at the top end of the pitch now. Like, you're talking about, and I know I'm going to forget somebody here, I'm going to just try and rattle them off because I haven't got it written down in front of me. We are talking Liam Burt, Ali Koo, John Martin, Matty Smith, Aidan O'Brien, Sean Boyd to come back. Who am I missing?
Ryan Tulloch.
Who, look, fairness, wasn't at his best on Friday and was taken off at half time. But again, he's another one of those players that I think he could just be a 9.5 out of 10 all of a sudden. You know, so much depth. And I do think we'll need every bit of it, because hopefully there's a cup run coming. We'll come to that now in a minute.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, but yeah, look, it's all rosy in the garden. It's the time of the year where you just need to win. Just find a way to get over the line.
I would rather, like, grind out 1-0 victories to the end of the year. Hook it to my veins, yes, please. I don't need to see pretty. I just need to see results.
Very true. The ticker wouldn't be able for all those 1-0s, though. But something the ticker obviously was nearly not able for was the penalties themselves. Our penalties were so good.
5 out of 5.
Oh.
Like, all of them pretty much impossible to get to. Like, that's...
The best one for me is still Coyler.
Yeah, you just feel for him, though. Like, the weight. Like,
that's what I mean. Like, that... I heard somebody talking about cojones in the weight up to it. That's the only way to put it. Like, that is serious mental strength to keep yourself kind of level-headed. Something like
you're standing there waiting. It's an agonizing wait, and you have Galway fans probably saying, everything under the sun to throw you off. And you just put the ball down and rifle it in.
And, like, Clarkie taking the penalty is very funny. I don't know why. We had a good chat with Clarkie again after the game, as we always do.
His technique was incredible.
Well, for a man who said he forgot what he was supposed to do and he put the ball down on the spot, yeah, it wasn't bad altogether. Now, this is no disrespect to Conor Cairns, but I would not want my keeper taking a penalty. Unless, obviously, it goes the distance and he has to, but, oh, not for me. Keepers on penalties, not for me, I'm afraid. Was there anyone, Ben, from our end that you would have been hoping didn't take one? Is there anyone that you would have, if you seen them making the walk up, you would have went, oh no? Or was there any of the lads that scored that you wouldn't have thought about?
Genuinely, no. And I'm not just saying that. I just think, like, look, obviously we've got to spend a good bit of time around the group, and they're a great bunch of lads, but like, with the manager, like, the belief, the confidence, like, I don't think anyone that finished that game or anyone on that pinch would have been like, I'm not taking one, I don't want to, because I don't think they'd be allowed to think that way.
Yeah, I'd agree. Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's like, not that you'd be looked at as weak, but, you know, step up.
Yeah, it's your time now. Take the ball, go on. I would have been confident in anyone taking one.
And of course, the draw came today. Derry away. What was your immediate thought when it came out?
Bollocks. That was the immediate thought. Then I kind of settled down, calmed down, and said, well, hold on. Like, we're not particular. Like, we haven't had a kind of bad performance in the Brandywell. We're going to have to play them anyway. Like, realistically speaking. So, why not get it out of the way?
That's where I stand on it. Fuck them. Let's go up there and beat them. Like, what?
Imagine trying to get out of Derry after that.
Yes. Like, this, we are not little First Division Shells anymore, who, like, are coming up here just delighted to be playing one of the big boys. Like, we are the big boys now.
Yeah, we're top of the table. Like, we shouldn't fear anyone, because why would we? And I know there's an air of arrogance about that, but, like, when you put yourselves in the position that the lads have put themselves in, I think you have a right to play with that little bit of confidence, a little bit of steel that, like, yeah, we're here. We deserve to be here.
Yeah, and it's a fine line between confidence and arrogance, obviously. But bring it on, I say. What I'd kind of say is I would be 99% sure if you're a Derry fan and you see that draw, you go, oh, no. Anyone but them, which is probably testament to the job the manager, the staff, the players have done, that we've put ourselves in that position where nobody wants, like, we want to be avoided. Before, going back 4 or 5 years, you'd have teams rubbing their hands together to be drawn against us in the cup.
Against little old Shells.
Yeah, yeah. Something else that a lot of people got in touch about was the crowd on Friday. Few of the players even were kind of inquisitive about it, kind of be like, what's going on there? Like, this is a cup quarter final, that type of thing. Before I get into this, what I would say is the noise towards the end of the game was incredible. Although the crowd, numbers-wise, probably wasn't, well, it was nowhere near its best. The people that were in the ground got behind the team.
Yeah, I think a lot of players
definitely agree with that.
Yeah, there's a lot of praise to be given to the people that came out, the people that were there, because they made themselves heard, they made an atmosphere, like, yeah, it was brilliant.
But there's a lot of people, I had so many people saying, this is like a First Division game. And it did kind of feel like that until the last, say, 15 minutes or so. The reason for the bad crowd, I don't know. I know Electric Picnic was on, like, I heard a few people, oh, like, the Premier League's back tonight. Oh. If you're going to skip a Shells game, whatever about if you're going to Electric Picnic, yeah, that's grand. Like, people like, I missed the game on Friday because of my personal life. That's just the way it is. But if you're staying at home to watch United instead of the Reds, I'd rather you don't come, to be honest. It's probably a bit harsh, but like, again, different if you're going over to the game. Like, I understand that's a big thing. Like, my old nephew's mad United fan. I'd have tendencies for United myself, but if you were a regular Shells goer and you were deciding to sit at home and watch United on the box instead of being a Talca, nah, not for me. Where do you stand on it?
I tend to agree. I think, look, you make your choice. Like, United's going to be there. There's nothing that replaces live football. Football is not a TV show.
No, it sure isn't. Jerry McMahon was on with his usual wind-up stuff, Ben. He asked, will there be a cup final special pod? And the end of this is cut off. I probably don't want to know what he was going to say. But the rest of it goes, will there be a cup final special pod? And does Wacker, Baresi, Barrett know he's... And then the message got cut off. So I don't know where that was going. But I'm probably glad it got cut off, whatever it was going to be. Ryan Marin was on asking, if you could change one thing about Talca, what would it be?
It's a great one. See, do you pick the obvious? You go get the new sand sorted. Is that what you're...
Like, I would say have the pitch widened before a Friday.
That's a great show. Yeah, I think the pitch is definitely
up there. Right, we'll take the pitch out of it because we did get another message about the quality of and the standard of the pitch. Yeah, it's pretty bad, to be fair. Is it better than it was? It did get a lot better. Now, I don't know whether it's starting to fade a bit again, but there's a bigger, kind of more complicated issue around that, so it's not as simple as everyone would like it to be. But take the pitch out of it, Ben. I would love if the Riverside went the whole width, if the roof on the Riverside went the whole width.
Yeah.
I think that'd be great. Other than that, it's probably a bit romantic of me, but I kind of love it the way it is. Yeah, an open newsstand would be great. But actually, do you know a big thing I would? A bigger bar.
Yeah.
Or an easier bar to organise, say. Like, the lads in the bar do an amazing job, and it's not their fault that there's just too many people for the bar to not have a mad queue.
Yeah, that would probably get rid of the issue of everyone, not everyone, but the large deal of people going over just before half time. Like, I know you have to get there because of the queue and kind of the big crowds, but I think you have a bigger bar, you have more facilities. Obviously, that's not there, and I think that makes things a little bit better.
Speaking of the ground, we had... These names on Instagram kill me, you know that? Carnivale, I'm going to go with. They asked, can the club please make sure that the women's toilets have bog roll in them on Saturdays? I would agree with that. Please get bog roll. I know a fella that works for a hygiene company who could probably box off a couple of spare bales if need be. But yeah, get toilet on the jacks. Jeez. We shouldn't be worrying about those problems now. A certain Darren Cleary was on. You might know him, Ben.
I heard of him, yeah.
He asked, I'm Darren Cleary. Should penalty shootout goals be counted in the stats?
No.
Why?
Bit of a free hit, isn't it?
Oh, don't say free hit. Oh, that's a terrible phrase. Terrible, terrible phrase.
I knew you'd get on to me about that, so I had to. I always try and rattle you at least once an episode, duty.
Do you know what I think a bigger question is? Like, I don't care whether they count towards the stats or not. It doesn't really make a difference. Does a penalty in a penalty shootout count towards a goal bonus if a player has one? That's what I want to know.
That's very true, yeah.
So just say your Pádraig Amhant, who I'd be fairly sure would have a goal bonus. Like, if he scores in a penalty shootout, does he still get his few bob? It's a fair question, isn't it?
I don't know, but if all your strikers take a penalty, you'd be paying out a fair few bob that week.
Well, but this is where it gets complicated. Like, I don't know, is there like a clause in there that says, no.
Goals in play, or like...
Yeah, like how does it work? I don't know, I'm no agent. Never will be, thank God. Don't even know any, thank God. Can only be a good thing, because they're not the most popular bunch in the world at the moment. Ben, we were talking earlier about people sending in messages anonymously. Anonymously.
There you go, you got it there.
This one, I had great fun with earlier. I sent it on to you earlier. We don't generally prep like questions and stuff.
Yeah, you usually sting me with them.
But, are there any players in the current squad that look like they should be doing a different job? I don't know why I found this so funny. And the first thing I did was go and look at, like, I got the headshots of all the players up and was like, right.
In sports world, yeah, I did the exact same thing.
Who looks like what here? So we'll alternate. Give me one of your, how many have you got?
I could probably.
Because it was harder than I thought.
It was a little bit harder.
You didn't do the whole squad, did you?
No. I probably have a good few. One thing, Shane Griffin, business teacher.
Slacks and brown shoes. Tight business teacher.
Yeah, the button-up shirt and all. And he'd walk along the corridors and the kids be like, "All right, sir. How are you, lads?"
And he'd be the sound business teacher, because he plays football, so everyone would like him. Yeah. Staying on the subject of teachers, Ben, I don't know why, but I've Sam Bowen down as a PE teacher.
Yeah.
Because I Googled PE teacher, and when you Google image it, the first fella looks like Sam Bowen. So... there you go. That was my first one. Give me another one. I'm interested to see if we have the same player in any of these.
Paddy Barrett?
I have a profession for Paddy Barrett. Yeah, go on.
A butcher.
I have the exact same thing.
There's no way you have the exact same. I refuse.
People who think, right, now there are people listening to this that think we do this on purpose. And this... I did this before Jer sent in the thing about calling him Paddy the Butcher Barrett. I have him down as a butcher. There's one particular photo of him when you Google image him. I'm going to try and see if I can pull up here. I might actually, when we put out the link for the pod, when it comes out, I might put this picture up with it, because I just think it's gas. And you know that, do you ever see that picture? Is it the 1,000-yard stare or something it's called, of the soldier? Yeah. It's Paddy's headshot from last year. He just looks absolutely mad. So yeah, believe it or not, I do have Paddy Barrett down as a butcher as well.
I just feel like I could imagine an owl coming in and he said, "How are you, love?"
See, I'm down the other end. I can imagine him just going at a carcass. the blood splashing up on him and all. That's more the image I got. Oh, thank God I'm not going to be at the game on Friday, because I have a feeling there's going to be a few crosswords had about this. Right, so we agree that Paddy Barrett is a butcher. I had Sam Bond as a PE teacher. I've got Harry Wood as a museum tour guide.
Oh, I had him as a scuba instructor or a lifeguard.
Lifeguard's a very good show. It's the mullet. You can picture him getting out of water and, like, you know the way a dog shakes to get all the wet off them, and Harry just flicking the mullet around the place. Yeah, that's a good one. So you had him as a lifeguard. Yeah, I can see that. Right, come on, give me another one.
Who else did I have?
I have two left.
I can't think of who else I had, because I didn't write them down. I just started thinking about them. Who do you have? And I'll tell you.
Right, I have one for Matty Smith. And it's not a model, because everyone will go with model. Mine is, I could see Matty Smith being, you know, if you're in a water park, the fella, the ridiculously cool fella that stands at the top of the water slide and just like nods at you to go next. Yeah, that's what I've got Matty Smith down as.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think it's
what I'm. Yeah, and
He has the sunglasses on and all. He just gives you the nod. Yeah. His name is
Pete. 100%. 100%. And my last one, and this, when I seen this question, this was the first person I thought of, and the job just went with him straight away. And I don't know why, but it's Gano.
Right.
And I can just picture Gano working on a site, on a building site. I can see him in the Snickers, the Hi-Viz. I can see him carrying the hard hat around.
Bottle of Lucozade
and the chicken fillet roll. Yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's the walk. I can't put my finger on it, but I have Gano as working on a site. If anyone listening has any other ones or any different occupations for the players we've mentioned, do let us know, because that's a cracker of a question. What about any staff? Can you see any staff doing that? I can see Joey being a really aggressive teacher that's in every school that everyone thinks is like just, oh, he's horrible, he's real mean.
And then when, but then, six
year, when you hit 6 year, exactly. You go, he's actually sound.
He's actually all right.
Yeah. Oh, well, there. I tell you what, there. I actually did have one other one. I had Connor Cairns as a physio.
Connor Cairns as a physio?
Yeah. My brain just went there. I don't know why. We haven't even talked about Bleed. We're playing balls on Friday. We're talking about Paddy Barrett being a butcher and fucking huge game coming up on Friday. Right, let's get serious for a minute. Live on...
Okay. Oh, Lance.
Right. We are playing balls on Friday. It's a huge, huge game in the title race. Derry are obviously going to Waterford, which is an extremely difficult game. Balls are struggling. They nearly went out of the cup on Sunday, courtesy of Kerry. They threw away a 2-goal lead before that against Waterford. They're struggling. The mood is not great. How do you rate our chances on Friday?
I think, look, obviously I'd rate our chances going into any game. I think it's probably there for the taking given their circumstances. But because of their circumstances, it's never going to be an easy game. It's never going to be an easy game anyway. But you just, the worst thing about this team is you don't know what you're going to get out of them. You could get the same performance they had when they went 2-0 up, or you could get the performance where they decided they're 2-0 up, they're done, and they go level. So you just don't know what you're going to get out of that squad.
Yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty. In a way, I nearly would have been more confident going into the Derry game, because like that, you do know what you're going to get. Whereas with balls, they're just... I think a quick start is so important, because they'll turn very, very quickly.
Yeah, if you put a goal past them in the first 15 minutes, I think they crumble.
Yeah, well, here's hoping.
But like, again, occasions and emotions play a big part of it. Like, if you hear fans like really, really behind you from their end in a big Dublin derby, like, they want to come out and upset us. And it would be an upset given their form, but like, they don't want us to have anything good.
No. And it always will be. People sit differently on this. I know some people, their biggest one is Pats, other people it's Rovers. This is the one for me. Like, this is the game. And they will pretend that they don't care. But I am telling you, the head loss, if they have a poor performance on Friday, will be outrageous. If
that team don't turn up, I don't think it's going to be very good across the road.
No. And for like, all the stick that we get about, relegated, you know, first division, I'm surprised you even know what the Premier Division is, blah, 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 blah. I would say it's just killing them to see us top of the league. Killing them. Whatever about Rovers, you kind of expect it. And I put Pats in that category as well. It's killing a lot of people that we are top of the league at the moment. Long may it continue. Like, the other thing with them is they need a result. Like, they are struggling. They're only 4 points clear of Dundalk. Now, they have two games in hand, but there's no point having games in hand when you're not playing well.
Yeah, like you could have 10 games in hand, but if you're not turning up to games, then what's the point?
And they have a horrific run of games. They're playing us in Talca, then they're at home to Rovers, then they're playing us in Dalymount, and then they're away to Derry. So, like,
wow.
The one thing I would hope for, now, not, I wouldn't say the players would, to be too professional for that, but if people take their eyes off this one because of the Rovers one, if that makes sense, because I know, look, that Rovers game's a huge one for them, but I will again say, I hate this game. I hate everything that goes around this game. I hate the nonsense around the Talca takeover the couple of years ago, and I hate it all. I hate them. In a way, I'm glad I'm missing it. Now I'm sick as well, but I'm going to a wedding, so I will miss the game. I'll be watching, but of all the ones I could miss, this one, in a weird way, I'm happy I'm missing it, because I can't do it. And the thoughts of a cup final, oh no. No, no, no. It's just, oh, it's going to be a long week. A long, long week. Because if you win, like if we win and Derry lose, it's majorly advantage Reds.
Yeah, you just can't really let your mind wander. You just kind of have to take it each game as it comes. But like, for I think Friday, weirdly enough, would be one of the times I'm more nervous than most games this year, because of that element of, are you going to get the team that went out and, you know, had were winning 2-1 over Kerry and got taken to penalties, or are you going to get the team that turned over Rovers?
Yeah, that is kind of it. But like, you know what, at the same time, fuck them. Like, I don't care about them. I don't care what they do. It's about what we do. And that might be the worry, is that there's so much at stake. And it's not just in this Bowls game. It's every game now. Like every single game from now to the end of the season is, and it's the old cliche, oh, it's a cup final. It's bigger than a cup final.
Yeah, it is. That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, I don't like the cliche of it's a cup final. Yeah, you can say it, you can think it, grand, whatever you need to get over the line, but like, it's bigger than that. It means more than that. Like, I don't want to say it means everything, but it does.
Oh, it does.
Every game means everything.
Yeah. Particularly this one on Friday. Ben, we need to do our Richie rankings. Do you have your Richie rankings? Because, by the way, you've carried yourself today. I don't think you've done any research. Too worried about your actual job, are you?
Yeah, I kind of haven't done any research. I was a bit worried. I was kind of trying to organise myself for the return of my actual job, and then spent about an hour looking at player headshots, being like, you'd be a butcher, you'd be a... So, well, thanks for that one. Really needed that. I think Reggie Baker pretty much gives himself out this week. I know it's too early to give it to Aidan O'Brien, but yeah, I think you have to.
Yeah, that's fair.
Actually, no. I'm going to stop myself. I'm going to give it to someone that I haven't mentioned but should mention. Ali Q.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't have him written down, but yeah, completely get it. He's been one of our best players in the last few weeks.
He's gone so under the radar. Look, I know the song and all the chant, but that's just because his name fits really well into it. But he actually deserves that, just based on his play. Like, he's just been... I think he's... I know it might be harsh because none of them have really put too much of a foot wrong. They haven't been here for very long, but I think he's probably... quietly gone on the radar as one of the best signings in this window.
I'd 100% back that. 100%.
He just, I don't know what it is. I just love to watch him play. And the assist, I think, really epitomizes the reason of why I love to watch him play. Like, he just takes the ball, he plucks the ball out of the air perfectly, pulls it back with his left foot, uses both feet. He's tricky, he's dynamic, bit of an X factor about him. Like, I think he just deserves the praise. I think I will be delighted when he gets his first goal. I'm saying when, because I think it's just a matter of time based on his play.
Oh, imagine it was Friday. Oh, Jesus. Do you know what? We've an awful lot of players now, right, that if they scored in that game on Friday, I would find it hilarious. Still top of that list is John O'Sullivan. Hopefully he is fully fit. I know he was due a fitness test before the Cup game. Like, you've got him, you've got John O'Sullivan, you've got Boydie, would be just as hilarious. You've got Ali Coote, would be hilarious. Liam Burt would be hilarious. Am I missing anyone else out there? I think that might be it. Most of those attacking players, based. Oh, Tariq, actually. That would be a great one. Tariq's taking an L free kick.
Yeah.
My head would explode. My Richie Baker for this week is actually Mark Coyle. As it was said, cojones to stand there and, you know, it got to be very, very strong to stand there through the distraction of the laser. Stupid thing to do in the first place, but at the same time, definitely Clarkey playing the game a little bit as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's Mark Coyle just for having the stones to stand there and took the pen away.
Yeah, I think Mark Coyle's definitely up there for Richie Baker of the year. I assume at the end of the season we're going to give her Richie Baker of the year.
Yeah. Do you know what's weird about Mark Coyle as well? I do always presume that the reason he gets taken off is because he just runs out of steam, you know, because he's just so never stops, and like, that's just fine.
Smashing into people after like 110
minutes.
That's
what I mean. Like, I don't know where the engine, like, he's obviously just super, super fit. And obviously it's like a tactical thing maybe that he does come off earlier in games.
I'm actually quite tired watching him run at people. I'm like, how are you still going?
Yeah. Doesn't know when to stop, that's for sure. Now the good stuff, Ben, the real good. Your Richie Winters. Who steals sweets from kids?
Oh, like, look, say what you will about, I'm not going to single out referees and performances and such and such, but I think that would have been a fair one, but I'm going to go with a wannabe Fabrizio Romanos. I'm not talking about the There We Land fella. He's great.
Well, you're going to get stick now for not naming people.
You know who he is. Everyone knows who he is. I know it's a bit weird, but like, I don't really like the whole Fabrizio Romano culture. I know you probably don't want to get into it, but I just think, remember when you used to be excited when something happened? They have everyone and their nanny.
Magic. You get the yellow bar on Sky Sports News down the bottom and it actually meant something.
Yeah, everyone and their nanny trying to leak something now. Oh, this fella bought a toaster in this shop because he's moving in and signing for this team. Ah, would you stop? Day off, will you?
My Richie Baker, or my Richie Winter, right? And I'm very impassioned about this. It's Stephen Kenny again.
Oh, here we go.
Can he not stop fucking moaning? Oh, every time I go on to some kind of League of Ireland news outlet or a Twitter page, that fella is moaning about something.
But why has the game not been moved?
Moaning about having to get two flights or whatever. That's Europe. Like, how long is he around now? That's the way it works. You know that's the way
games
it works.
In Europe, actually. And you got a big plaque for playing two of them with Pats, wasn't it?
Oh, then, we have to play Sunday. Oh, now we have to go over to play, and it's an early kickoff, so we're actually getting less time to rest. Well, with the big money you're throwing at players, they should be well able to recover in time. Absolute nonsense. Stupid stuff.
Professional footballer giving out about 3 games in a week isn't a good look.
But you know what? Look, we sing Duffer's praise enough on here, rightfully so. Never once has he moaned about that.
No.
In fact, he's gone the other way and he said, any player of mine that's moaning about having to play 3 times the week won't play. Because that's what you're here to do. That's what you're here for. Like, imagine, you'd swear, you'd swear they had to row a boat to bleeding Azerbaijan the way he was going on. Just nonsense. Complete and utter moaning nonsense. And I know some age will come back with, he's in your head. No, he's just a moan bag who has found his level, wasn't able for the step up, and now he's back where he started. And I think he's having a bit of a culture shock now, being like, oh, geez, it's a long way to Azerbaijan. Gimp.
But I think he's also yesterday's man. I don't rate him particularly highly.
Put it to you this way, I'm glad we have Duffer and we don't have him.
And that is a great note.
Ben, the game's a 7. Is it? Ooh, I should have checked this because it's live on telly, so it could be different, but... Is it still
7:45?
Wait, give me 2 seconds, will you? Jesus, let me take 2 seconds.
Yeah, 7:45.
7:45 kickoff. It's live on Virgin Media Sport. Don't mind all that. Get yourself down to Talca. If you can't get a ticket, that was the other thing actually we didn't address. Was the allocation that we gave to Bose. The stadium will be at full capacity for Friday. It's all you need to know.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, giving them less tickets is absolutely hilarious.
No, we didn't give them less
tickets. Yeah, and it wasn't done like out of spite. It wasn't, oh, fuck them, we'll give them less tickets. It was to accommodate home supporters. So,
exactly.
Stop jumping to conclusions, everyone.
They got their allocation that they're required to be allocated, so.
Yeah.
There you go. That's it.
Indeed. Simple as. 7:45 on Friday, huge Dublin derby against Bowles. Be there. It's huge. And then Monday evening, 7:45 again, away to Rovers in the quarterfinal of the FAI Cup. Ringsend Derby. Away to Rovers. 7:45 kickoff. If you can't be there, LOI TV is the best spot to be in. Ben, have we missed anything?
I think that's all our housekeeping.
Thank God. I will miss you on Friday. I won't be there. But
it's never a nice experience watching the game without you, because we do like to discuss during the game.
Yeah, we do. But I will be, ooh, what time's that? 7:45? I'll be about 8 or 10 points deep at that stage, hopefully. So if I can even see the telly, I will drop you a text.
Oh yeah, missing it for personal reasons. Come on, dude, yeah.
I'm at a wedding.
You can get married any day. Why a Friday?
I won't get married during season, don't worry.
At least you could do, really.
Right, Ben, thank you very, very much for giving up your day.
That's my Richie Winder. Someone gets married on a Friday. There we go. I'm changing it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm joking.
It's nobody's show. Well, it doesn't matter. Well, kind of is. They used to go to matches back in the day, but not anymore. Anyway, Ben, thank you very, very much.
It's been a pleasure, as always.
Yes. Don't forget, get in touch with us. Give us your player that should be in a different profession.
You got there in the end.
Yes. Thank you, Ben, and goodbye.
Up the Reds.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify, and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.